let's do a broad like takeaway. Because just about everything I've read is that, well, Kay is a back end of the rotation guy, and that Simeon Woods-Richardson's interesting, but he's 18, but he also might be back of the rotation. Ultimately, impressed, not impressed by the return the Blue Jays got?
Kind of in between. I mean, there's ups. I mean, there's a lot of factors. This. I also, part of me is still trying to figure out exactly what the Mets are doing, but you know, they got two of the Mets' best pitchers, two of the three best Mets pitchers according to our rankings, MLB Pipeline. Those guys both have upside, but the thing to remember is they're prospects and they're pitching prospects, and there are no sure things. And I think Marcus Stroman was kind of a sure thing, even if you thought you were losing him in a year and a half. So, you know, in terms of whether the Jays win or lose this trade in the long run, I think that could go either way. I guess my initial reaction is why I like both arms. I would have thought maybe they'd get a little bit more for Stroman, considering that you have a year and a half of control over him, and assuming, let's say the Mets don't resign him as a free agent, they can recoup a first-round pick for him as compensation. But I've also seen some hot takes that are like, oh, this is terrible. Neither of those guys is on a top 100 prospects list. Well, you know, Anthony Kay was on our top 100 prospects list earlier this year at the bottom. Simeon Woods-Richardson, I think, is trending towards the top 100 prospects list. He's just kind of getting going. I mean, he's only 18 years old. He's one of the youngest guys in last year's draft. So, you know, Kay's got the higher floor. Woods-Richardson's got the higher ceiling. You know, I think if the Jays, you're maybe hoping that one of them is a number three starter and the other guy's a number four starter. And if either one of those guys winds up in the middle of their rotation, then I think it's a good trade for the Jays in the long term. So it's I'll be on both sides of the fence there.
So it sounds like you're saying these two guys are trending in different directions, which would lead us to believe that Woods-Richardson is now the more coveted prospect?
No, I didn't mean to say it like that. What I meant was is that Kay, you know, he struggled. He's only been AAA for seven starts. But, you know, he dominated AA. He's much more – I mean, you're talking about a six-year age gap between these guys, because Kay was a college guy in 2016 and Woods-Richardson was a high school guy in 2018. No, all I'm saying is I think you have more certainty in what you have in Anthony Kay. I think you have more upside in Woods-Richardson. And you, with pitching prospects especially, you really have to balance them both. I think most teams would rank – even though he hasn't pitched well in AAA, it's been very small sample size. Most teams would rank Kay ahead of Woods-Richardson because there's so much more certainty with him. You know, I think if you were just gambling purely on upside, you'd gamble on Woods-Richardson. And to be fair to Kay, I mean, he's a lefty with three solid pitches and throws strikes, so it's not like we're talking about some dude who's throwing 86 tricking guys. I mean, Anthony Kay has pretty solid stuff. It's just, you know, Woods-Richardson, by the time he's said and done, you know, could have a mid-90s fastball and a plus curveball, and he throws a lot of strikes too because he's really athletic. So it's just, you're kind of balancing, you know, risk and upside, you know, when you look at those two guys.
So you mentioned it. Kay has three pitches. He is a lefty. He's got some power in the arm, and he did dominate AA. What did you think went wrong for him in AAA so far? I know it's only been seven starts, but the numbers have not really been impressive there. It hasn't translated from AA.
I think the two things to remember with that are, one, it's a very small sample size, but two, and I keep saying this on all these shows, not necessarily about him, but in all kinds of contexts, the baseballs are a joke. And now, granted, I know the baseball, they're using major league balls in AAA this year. And yes, you know, Anthony Kay is going to have to pitch with major league baseballs in major league baseball when he gets there. But you cannot underestimate the adjustment that you're going from pitching with a fair baseball, and then all of a sudden the fair baseball is gone, and you're basically pitching with a rock that has seams painted on it. And there's going to be an adjustment period to that. You know, the ball, you know, you're not going to be able to spin it as well because you don't have seams. You know, and he's got a pretty good curveball. You know, that probably affects your grip and effectiveness and spin rates on your other pitches as well. And you're also, you know, going to learn, you know, the hard way, like he has, and a lot of pitchers have this year, going from AA to AAA, that, you know, you're going to have to be a little bit more fine with your pitches than maybe you were in AA, because, again, you're not using a ball anymore. You're basically using a rock with seams painted on it. So, yes, and I know that, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. And yes, he is going to have to pitch with the same kind of ball in the big leagues. But I think there's a huge adjustment period right now you know, starting this year, because this is his first year AAA has used these souped-up major league balls, for guys making that jump from AA to AAA, it's not the same adjustment that it, you know, it was in years past. So I'm not saying that explains totally why his ERA jumped from 1.5 to AA to 6.6 in AAA, but I just would not read too much into just seven starts. You know, he's going to need some time to adjust, but a lot of pitchers are going through that same thing because you're using a baseball that's totally different than any other baseball you've used in your career at any level to that point, if that makes sense.
It's a great point and one I hadn't even considered, Jim. It actually kind of seems stupid that baseball doesn't just use a uniform baseball throughout the minor leagues. Why don't they do that?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, you would think that it would just use the major league ball throughout
right.
the whole, you know, minors, so you'd be accustomed to it, but they, you know, they didn't. I mean, this is the first year they've ever even used the major league ball in AAA. Now, in the past, my understanding was in AA and AAA, if you had a pitcher on a rehab assignment, he could choose which ball he wanted to use. He could either use the minor league ball or the major league ball. My guess is it's a cost issue, that the cost of a major league ball is maybe significantly more than a minor league ball. And if you're thinking about the fact that most teams have at least, you know, if you're talking about U.S.-based affiliates, six U.S.-based affiliates. So, I mean, you're talking about six teams worth of baseballs. You know, that could get up there pretty quick. You know, that's my only guess. But, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me that, I mean, I guess it makes more sense that you're adjusting to the ball in AAA rather than, hey, you get to the majors and now you have this jacked-up baseball that
yeah.
you're trying to deal with, and which I don't think necessarily will always be this jacked up, but it is right now. But yeah, now instead of having a rude awakening when you get to the big leagues, you know, which is where you really don't want it because you want these guys to be able to come and help you, a lot of guys are getting rude awakenings in AAA. I mean, in the stats, if you look at AAA stats this year, they're crazy. I think the last time I checked when I was doing the AAA All-Star game for MLB Network, I think home runs are up something like 40% this year compared to last year. It's just crazy. And, you know, run scoring is up. If you look at the AAA numbers, you know, and the PCL always played a little bit, you know, more towards hitters because of a lot of the parks, you know, they have toward the western side of the PCL. But if you look at the offensive stats for the International League and the Pacific Coast League compared to what they were last year, I mean, everything's through the roof because they're using the Major League Baseballs.
I love it. That's now I know why Anthony K was not good in AAA, and I'm convinced that's the reason. Talking to Jim Callis, MLB Pipeline. So we talk about an 18-year-old and Simeon Woods Richardson as potentially having the higher ceiling, but he's so far away. I mean, what's
right.
the earliest projection? Like, if I said to you, Jim, everything goes perfectly for this kid, when does he arrive in the major leagues?
You're probably talking, I would say, late 2021, early 2022. I mean, the thing to remember about him, too, is yeah, he was super young for his draft. I mean, he was drafted in 2018, but he didn't even turn 18 until late September. So, I mean, he's still 18 right now. And if we put him in the big leagues at the end of 2021, he'd only be 21 years old. I mean, the thing that's really encouraging about him is, I mean, you know, he's super athletic. He's got really projectable stuff, and it's already pretty good right now. But, you know, he's striking out, you know, 5.5 times as many batters as he walks in low A ball. So, I mean, he's a guy who's got good stuff, and he knows how to use it. You know, he's 6'3". He can still kind of, I think, add some strength. And like I said before, I mean, you can really have like a mid-90s, you know, consistent mid-90s fastball with a plus curveball with good depth on it. You know, and he's got some feel for a changeup, too. It's just, you know, he's more of a work in progress. But it's, you know, when we say work in progress, it's not, okay, this guy's got a great arm, but he has no idea where the ball's going, or he's getting hit because he can't command it. I mean, he's already showing you that he can miss bats and locate his pitches at age 18.
Jim, I'm wondering, and we'll never know if the Yankees put this guy on the table, but a lot of us were doing deep dives on Davey Garcia, the Yankees pitching prospect, because it felt like, while the Yankees and Blue Jays were a natural fit for a trade of Marcus Stroman. Do you view him above both of those Mets guys? Where do you view Garcia?
I do. I mean, and again, you mean, you're right. We don't know if he was available. I mean, I do. I think he comes with more, you know, maybe more upside, more risk. I mean, he's got a great arm. You know, the Yankees are one of these organizations, like the Astros or another, that seem to be like pitching magicians, and guys start throwing a lot harder and their spin rates start getting a lot higher. I mean, he's a guy who's 91-96 with high spin rates on the fastball, so it seems like it rises almost. The guys have trouble catching up to that, and he's one of the better curveballs in the minor league. So, I mean, it's really good stuff. Yeah, now he's walked 39 guys in 82 innings this year. You know, there's, I mean, you're quibbling a little bit, but you know, the curveball breaks so much. Can he land it in the strike zone against better hitters? You know, are big leaguers going to look at the curveball and read the spin and say, well, I'm just going to take that because it's going to drop out of the bottom of the zone and not be a strike? So that's a little bit of a concern. And then he's 5'9", 163. You know, and there's some effort in his delivery. So, I mean, he is athletic. He's fairly efficient, but, you know, there's some durability concerns because he's small. So, yes, I would rather have him if you were offering me him or Anthony Kay or Simeon Woods Richardson. And I'd say he comes with higher upside than both those guys, and you could probably argue, you know, because he's 5'9" and Simeon 6'3", that he might come with more risk than either of those guys too. Although he's proven himself in Double A already.
Jays hate small guys, though. We've learned this now that they're moving away from the small pitchers.
Well, I mean, again, for Marcus Stroman, and I mean, back when Stroman was drafted, I was kind of aghast that he lasted as long as he did in the draft because I thought he had one of the like two or three best college arms in that draft, but he was small. But it does. I mean, yes, you know, size doesn't matter. You know, it's not everything, but still, when you're trying to project how long a guy's going to hold up as a starter, there is something to be said for that. Now, I think Stroman, if you're comparing him to Garcia, Stroman does it so easily because he's so athletic. And in Garcia, it's not like it's a max effort, but it's not, you know, there's some effort to generate the crazy stuff he generates.
So, according to MLB.com, now that Bo Bichette is looking like he's about to be called up and he'll actually be a Toronto Blue Jay, five of the top six of the Toronto Blue Jays prospects are pitchers now. What do you make of this group as a whole as they're moving forward now with the additions of Woods Richardson, Kay, and I guess Manoah after the draft?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, and I think that kind of reflects more the fact that they've promoted so many guys to the big leagues between Vlad and Biggio and now Bichette and, you know, Gurriel recently. And, you know, it's just, you know, they promoted a lot of the hitters. I don't think it's any secret, but kind of your ability to develop pitchers determines how much you're going to wind up contending. I mean, it's hard to find pitching. Now, you know, that said, I mean, I had a scout recently who told me that both he and his organization as a whole thought Nate Pearson was best pitching prospect in the minor leagues anywhere. So, like, that's obviously a good start. You know, you mentioned Manoah, who they just got with the 11th overall pick, you know, one of the best college arms in this draft. Some teams thought he might have been the best college arm. They've added Kay, and they've added Woods Richardson. You know, Eric Pardino's a really interesting kid who had a minor injury and is just getting started again in low A ball. But, I mean, he's got a lot of upside. I think you're going to not forget about. I mean, Klopfenstein was part of the same draft as Woods Richardson. They were both Texas kids. I liked Klopfenstein a little bit more than Woods Richardson at the time, but they're comparable. And Adams in short season ball in Vancouver and showing some upside too. You know, and I'm just looking at our list. I mean, Kendall Williams is another guy they got in the second round of this year's draft, who's super interesting, real projectable 6'6" kid. So I think they've got, you know, some pretty impressive pitching depth there. It's always important to have pitching depth because of the attrition with pitchers. But, I mean, you've got, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, we rattle off seven names there. And I didn't even mention Sean Reed Foley, who has got to throw strikes but has electric stuff. I mean, you know, if you hit on three of those guys, well, you know, your rotation is going to be in really good shape for a long time to come. And, you know, just keep looking here. TJ Zoik's another guy who intrigues me too. I mean, they've got some really interesting pitching depth.
Yeah, I mean, it is attrition, it's injuries. I mean, how much more variance is there in a pitching prospect over a position player?
There's a ton, because it seems like, I mean, obviously, you know, as you move up the ladder, kind of guys fall by the wayside, and that happens to both hitters and pitchers. But I think it's the injuries, and I also just think it's, you know, like if you can hit, I mean, there are guys who will get kind of, you know, winnowed off as they go up to higher levels. But, you know, if you're consistently putting up big numbers at each level of the minors, that's usually an indication that you can hit. I mean, we've seen it with Vlad, we've seen it with Bichette, you know, just among Blue Jays prospects. With pitchers, I mean, sometimes you get to a especially like starting in A-ball, if you can throw strikes and you can locate a secondary pitch, like let's say you could put your curveball where you want, it doesn't matter how good your stuff is, you're probably going to do very well, especially in low A. So you'll see guys who put up, you know, really good numbers in low A and high A who maybe don't have great stuff. And then they kind of get knocked around as they get to higher levels of the minors. And then, you know, same thing. Like there's sometimes, you know, making your stuff might play in double A, you know, but maybe doesn't play in the big leagues. Like, you know, we're just talking about Davey Garcia, who I really like, you know, the Yankees prospect. But like I said, I mean, as good, his curveball is really good, and like minor leaguers just flail against it. But you just don't know. Like when he gets to the big leagues, where you have guys who can read the ball quicker and read pitches out of a guy's hand a lot quicker than they can in the minor leagues, if he can't show that he can land that curveball for strikes, instead of guys, you know, swinging and falling to their knees as it, you know, bounces in the dirt, or the guy, you know, catcher catches it, you know, at the, you know, below the bottom of the strike zone, big league pitchers might just say, okay, there's ball one. Now what do you have? So I think it's a lot harder for a pitcher to kind of adjust from one level to the next.
This is probably going to be really difficult to answer, and I'm sorry for putting you on the spot with this, but I saw a tweet yesterday from Baseball America where they said they examined all prospects dealt at the deadline between 2003 and 2014, and their number was roughly 20% of them went on to sustain big league careers. Do you think that over the past few seasons, over the past few years, organizations are getting better at this, or it still kind of equates to a similar number?
I think Baseball America was looking at fairly recent trade deadlines, and I think, you just to clarify, I think they're talking about guys who reached a certain, you know, WAR level. It wasn't just guys who got to the big leagues, but it was guys who had, you know, like at least a semblance of a decent career.
Yep.
Because you know, more than 20% make it. But no, I mean, it's the nature of prospects. I mean, it's the same thing with the draft. Like I tell people all the time with the draft, like, and people don't realize this, you know, there's 1,200 something players drafted every year. And in a typical draft, there'll be maybe six or eight players who are genuine perennial stars. And then there's maybe another two dozen guys who are, you know, like consistent big leaguers where they're in a lineup or in a rotation or at the back end of a bullpen for like 4, 5, 6 years in a row. And everybody else has these volatile careers where, you know, might just be a cup of coffee or they're toward the end of a bench or a pitching staff or they're really good 1 year and then not the next. I mean, you know, there just aren't that many good players in a draft. You know, baseball's hard. And I think it's the same thing with prospects. I mean, obviously, it's a higher hit rate than the draft when you're making these trades because you've seen the guys in pro ball, you've seen them against more advanced competition. But, you know, I love prospects as much as the next guy because I've been covering this stuff for 30 years, but prospects are prospects, and they often don't pan out. I mean, realistically, you know, looking at the trade the Blue Jays just made for Stroman, like, are K and Woods Richardson both going to be in the middle of their future rotation? No, they're probably not. But if one of them is, then the trade probably works out pretty well because they're going to cost control that guy for 6 years and only had a year and a half of Stroman left. Now, but you could also say, you know, it's probably, if we're going to call it, okay, who won this trade? We have to decide right now. We'll come back and look at it in 10 years. It's probably 50-50 because, you know, there's a real chance that, you know, maybe, you know, one of those pitchers gets hurt and maybe the other guy just isn't as good as we thought and can't make it in the big leagues. And then you're going to wish you'd gotten more for Stroman. But it's just tough. I mean, and that's the thing. When I first started Baseball America, you know, these trades would get made, and I'd be like, you know, that was 30 years ago. I'd be like, man, that team gave up a lot in prospects. But then over the years, you realize, like, well, like, yeah, and it's not often you see a trade like the Bartolo Colon trade the Indians made where they got Cliff Lee and Grady Sizemore, you know, and Brandon Phillips. Like, usually you don't hit on everybody in a trade. Like, usually you only hit on maybe half the guys if you're lucky.
No, it's hilarious to look back at that trade deadline of 2015 that the Blue Jays had in acquiring David Price and Troy Tulowitzki. And, like, who are the guys that are coming back to haunt them? Well, Travis d'Arnaud is now. Actually, I guess he was part of the Dickey trade. But, yeah, it's like Matt Boyd was the throw-in. Like, Daniel Norris, nobody's thinking about how he's coming back to haunt them. It's just, yeah,
right.
These guys just don't often pan into anything. So, yeah, it's a roll of the dice. It's kind of why we were kind of hoping that the Blue Jays held on to Marcus Stroman. Jim?
Yeah, I was going to say, the one thing I think the point you could kind of make is if you didn't love the return you're getting for him now, to me, he still had a lot of value in the offseason. I think it's almost easier to make these trades in the offseason, unless you're getting somebody who's overpaying because they have to have him for the playoff race, when teams can shift, you know, money around and payrolls, you know, you more guys, you know, you more flexibility. If you're the Blue Jays and you didn't love this return, why not wait till the offseason? Because everybody's still going to be looking for pitching in the offseason.